I think you'll agree with me that great things sometimes come from the strangest places. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, is from Bethsaida on the Sea of Galilee. And he comes to Nathanael all excited. I just have a picture in my mind of him coming running and all out of breath. Nathanael, who is also known as Bartholomew. Didn't know that, did you? Well, I used to work at St. Bartholomew's, so I had to know that. But Bar means son of, and Ptolemy is his father. So Bartholomew is Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael. Well, Nathanael can't believe what Philip is saying to him. Philip is bubbling over with the best news that he's ever been able to share with anybody. He says that he has found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. He's talking about Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael's response has never been forgotten. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? And did you wonder why Nathanael is so skeptical? Well, let me try to paint a picture for you. See, Nazareth was not exactly considered a very significant place. The town is situated inside a bowl on the top of the Nazareth Ridge, north of the Jezreel Valley. Nazareth was a relatively isolated village in the time of Jesus, with a population of less than 200, and the town itself probably would fit inside a football field. Kind of interesting. Even with such small numbers, Nazareth was overpopulated. And there wasn't a great deal of natural resources in the area as far as fertile soil or water. And it was a place of relative poverty. It was located about 3.5 miles south of what is known as the pagan city of Sepphoris. It's a city with Greek and Roman roots, a bustling cosmopolitan area, and it's been suggested that Joseph may have worked there as a contractor, doing some work as a skilled craftsman. Nazareth definitely took an economic backseat to Sepphoris and other parts of the northern Galilee, but I think there's another reason, and this probably jumps to the top of the list. You see, Nathanael was from the neighboring town of Cana in the Galilee region. And I think that it might possibly have been that there was a little hometown rivalry going on here. That's the physical description of Nazareth. Spiritually, it's insignificant as well. Nazareth is not mentioned one time in the Old Testament. There's no prophecy linking Nazareth with the Messiah or even with Galilee. It's not known for great minds or abilities. Nothing special was ever expected to come from Nazareth. Most certainly not the Messiah. So when Nathanael gets up to follow Philip, he goes without expecting anything too special from this quote-unquote Messiah. You can just imagine Nathanael's surprise when he sees Jesus. And what comes out of Jesus' mouth immediately? He says, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false." And Nathanael asks, "How do you know me?" Jesus responds, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Can you imagine how puzzled Nathanael must have been at this time? He must have been thinking, "How in the world does this guy know me?" Part of the answer can be found in the scriptures. And I'd like you to listen to these words from Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." God desires to be where we are, to meet us wherever we may be. And so he sent his son to be God with us, Emmanuel. Nathanael must have been asking himself, "How does this man know me?" Simple. He's God. He knows our hearts. When Nathanael walked up to Jesus, Jesus could have said to him, I know you. You're the person who was just thought nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Jesus could have said that, but he didn't. Instead, Jesus focuses on something completely different. You see, at the time, Jesus wasn't the only one who was a great person coming out of a strange place. At the time, many people in Israel did not understand what real faith was. Everyone was claiming to have religion, but it was a religion in name only. They offered sacrifices of repentance, but were not willing to change their lives. They came to the temple to worship, but it was a hollow ritual. In public, they were holy, but in private, they were ungodly. Circumcision meant they looked like Israelites, but their hearts were far from God. It was strange to find real faith, to find true Israelites in the days of Jesus. But Nathanael was different. Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. As a true Israelite, Nathanael didn't just read the word of God, but he lived it. He was a man who loved and feared God, a man of integrity. His heart gave a singular testimony to God. That's why Jesus continues to describe him as one in whom there is nothing false. What a huge compliment. A true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Especially when it comes directly from the mouth of the Son of God. You see, in the days of Jesus, the fig tree symbolized fruitfulness and spiritual fullness. And later on, it became the symbol of Israel itself. When Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree, he's pointing to the fact that Nathanael was a man who desired to walk closer with God, to walk closer with the Lord. When you were under the fig tree, you were in a place of reflection, study, and meditation, a place where people expressed their hearts to God. They would express their joys, but also their sorrows, their victories, but also their failures, their confidence, and also their doubts. To be under the fig tree meant expressing your relationship with God. Nathanael is overcome and declares, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. God gave Nathanael insight to see Jesus as he truly is. Now Jesus gives him a promise of things to come in his presence. Jesus told Nathanael, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending on the Son of Man. What Jesus was doing was calling to mind the account of Jacob's ladder in Genesis, Genesis 28 to be exact, in which Jacob, also known as Israel, had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching all the way to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Jacob called that place Beth-El. Beth means house of. El is God. Beth-El became one of the greatest sanctuaries in all of Israel, with the thought that when you worship God in his house, the house of God, he's really present, with his angels going up and coming down to link heaven and earth. And I do think it's important to tell you that a great deal of John's gospel has to do with the way that Jesus fulfills the promise made concerning God's temple and how he goes beyond those promises, bringing a new way in which God himself can be present with his people. In the beginning of John's gospel, John reveals the truth that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John 1:14. Now the word dwelling is associated with the presence of God tabernacling or extending his tent, pitching his tent in the midst of his people, giving his covering to those whom he loves. And this thought should take us back to something I taught this past Wednesday night over in the parish hall when we went visually inside the tabernacle itself. In the wilderness, in the time of Exodus. God's presence dwelt among his people. Not only in the Holy of Holies, but God's presence led the people as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This carried forward to the temple in Jerusalem where God's presence was promised. And Jesus is telling Nathanael not to just expect one or two remarkable acts, like when I showed you I knew you before you even appeared to me, standing under the fig tree, but that what you'll see from now on is the reality toward which Jacob's ladder and even the temple itself was pointing, like a flashing neon sign. Jesus was promising that if Nathanael follows him, he will see what looks like when heaven and earth are open to each other. He wasn't promising that he'd see angels, but he would see things happen which show that they're there. The promise is simply this. When you are with Jesus, it's as though you are in the house of God, the temple itself, with God's angels coming and going, and God's very own presence is right there beside you. For each one of us, we can be like Nathanael under the fig tree, with all our faults, with all our sin, with all our doubts and all our questions. You can still be a disciple because something great did come out of Nazareth. Jesus, the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life. And he is God with us. Emmanuel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.